We're not concerned this evening with that particular predicament. Not concerned with it, that is to say, directly, but only as illustrating the sort of point that I'm trying to make, namely that path and goal are discontinuous. Contrary to what we usually think, contrary to our usual metaphorical mode of description, enlightenment is not reached by following a path. Enlightenment is not reached by following a path, in the sense that at the end of the path there's enlightenment staring you in the face. Well, no such thing happens, no such thing occurs, no such thing takes place. At the same time, this does not mean that the path should not be followed. Paradoxically enough, one follows the path knowing it doesn't lead anywhere, doesn't arrive anywhere. However, we are not concerned this evening with that either. What we're trying to say, what we're trying to point out, trying to make clear, is the fact that the path and the goal occupy, as it were, different dimensions. One, we may say, is the dimension of time, and the other is the dimension of eternity. And one will not arrive at the one by the indefinite prolongation of the other. By the indefinite prolongation of time, going on and on and on in time indefinitely, you never reach eternity. You never get to eternity. You never reach that other dimension. It's rather like, or it would be like, trying to arrive at a two-dimensional figure by the prolongation of a one-dimensional line. However far you may go in that direction, prolonging the line, protracting the line even to infinity, you never will arrive at a two-dimensional figure. So the two, eternity on the one hand, time on the other, goal on the one hand, path on the other, these are discontinuous, discrete, as we may say. Now, the Bodhisattva, about whom we've been speaking over the last few weeks, the Bodhisattva represents the dimension of time. Because obviously the Bodhisattva path is followed in time. It's something that happens, this following of the path, in time. It has a past and a present and a future. It doesn't go beyond time. But the Buddha represents the dimension of eternity. The Buddha represents the goal, and the goal is gained out of time. One reaches the end of the path in time. But one shouldn't think that one attains the goal in time. One attains the goal out of time. Or one can put it another way and say that the goal is eternally attained. Now, we usually, and up to a point quite justifiably, we usually think of the Buddha as an historical figure. And this is quite correct as far as it goes. And we think of the Buddha's attainment of enlightenment as an historical event. We say, for instance, it took place 2,500 years ago. We might even name the year, might even name the day. So we look upon the Buddha's attainment of enlightenment as something occurring in time, within this dimension of time. And so long as we make it clear that we're speaking popularly, conventionally, then this isn't altogether wrong. But then only too often we go on to think of Buddhahood itself as existing in time. And this is quite wrong, this is altogether wrong, because though the Buddha as a historical person may exist within time, Buddhahood itself exists outside time. Buddhahood itself exists in what we've called the dimension of eternity. We can, in fact, think of the Buddha himself as existing simultaneously on two different levels, on the level of time as a human, a historical figure, and on the level of eternity as a reality. And we can think of him as existing also, in addition to these two, in an intermediate, as it were, archetypal realm. And this brings us, of course, as some of you may have perceived, brings us at once to what is known in Buddhism as the Trikaya doctrine, the doctrine of what some scholars are pleased to call, as I mentioned the other week, the Buddha's three bodies.